good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for it.
Day. We warm our bodies and we warm our souls and hearts, and I'm so grateful to you for your support and love of Christ and Christ's church. We are glad that you are here. Especially if you're visiting with us or are our guest today, we want to make sure you feel welcome, and we greet you especially and ask you to fill out one of those prayer cards. It says welcome on it. You can give us your information. That way we know how to get a hold of you and check up on you and see how we're doing welcoming you. So we want to make sure that you get one of those in the pew. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ. Good morning, Calvary. If you are thankful and grateful this morning, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we are so thankful and grateful for each and every one of you here this morning. We're delighted that you did not let the cooler weather keep you at home this morning. Nothing like getting our week started with the love and the friendship of Jesus Christ and our church family. Amen. Well, let me just go over. Please pay attention to your insert this morning where it says upcoming events. There's a lot going on, so please, if you don't have time to read it this morning, do take it home and glance at that throughout the week. I do want to hit on a couple of things. Barbara Hosey is not here this morning, so they asked me to make the announcement about the Christmas program that the church will be having called the Nativity. It will be our children's Christmas program Saturday, December 17th at 10 o'clock in the morning. After the program, there will be pictures with the famous Mr. Santa Claus with refreshments. And for this event, all the children are asked to, everyone is invited to share in this program, but they do need to practice a little bit. So they're going to be holding practice here at the church on Sunday mornings at 10:15 in the choir room. So I hope that parents and grandparents will get the kiddos here so that they can practice and that we can all come out and support our children and the children's ministry for this wonderful, wonderful Christmas program entitled The Nativity. And we ask prayers and blessings on that event. Also this morning, if you haven't already seen Miss Nancy Walker in the kitchen, she is trying to update our membership, and that comes with a lot of information, phone numbers, emails, if you want to receive text messages and one calls and things like that. You know, as a church, we need to stay informed, and that's a wonderful way to do that. And God bless Nancy for taking on this. So if you didn't get into the kitchen before the service, she had a lot of people in there, you have to go in there after church service today, okay? So if you haven't already been in there, just go in, look over the information, make sure it's correct, and just follow the instructions. Anything else, Nancy? Okay. Because Bill's going to grab you if... Right, yeah, Bill's going to grab you and direct you to that kitchen. So
There's Mr. Bill Walker. Okay, thank you. Also, the pastor would like to make an announcement this morning.
Yes, we're starting an Advent Bible study for the season of Advent. We'll have two classes. I will lead one class that starts on November 30th, which is a Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And Gene Clark will teach the second class on Thursday afternoon, beginning December the 1st at 2 o'clock. And you can sign up on the board. There's a sign-up sheet on the board in the hallway. That way we know how many student books to order. It's an Advent Bible study called Down to Earth. Down to Earth. And so we look forward to having you sign up for one of those two classes. You can take a look in the hallway and sign up. Thank you.
While you're in the hallway, I did forget to mention the candles, the fundraiser that we have been promoting for a few weeks, the candles that you've signed up for on the back, they're ready. They're ready for you to make a payment. So if you placed an order, you need to submit your payment now, and if you forgot how many you ordered or what the total is, all of that is in the hallway where you signed up. And please make your checks out to Calvary, UMC, but be sure to put on there Christmas candles. Okay? Very good. Do we have any other announcements? Larry? No? No? No praises or anything? I think the congregation needs to know what's going on with the food bank.
Well, we decided, since this week is this coming up is Thanksgiving, we're not doing a food bank this week, which would be our normal week. So we did this past Friday a turkey giveaway. I was able to purchase 75 turkeys from Walmart at 68 cents a pound. They were gracious. They were the only store that was gracious to help us with that. In fact, they had them boxed up, helped me load the truck, the whole works. We were able to hand out 53 turkeys this past Friday, along with some other stuff to go along with it, which I hadn't intended to do, but it worked anyhow. But it's just, and then from there I had to go over to Hunger Fight, where I had to pick up 3,000 prepackaged meals that Ameris Bank had done up for us. So if you see boxes in the hallway, that's what that stuff is the 3,000 prepackaged meals like we got last year, but last year we only got 1,000. This year we got 3,000.
Wow. Wow.
God is definitely working in this ministry.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you would turn to the back of your bulletins for our opening words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Who alone does great wonders? Who spread out the earth on the waters? Who gives food to all creatures? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Amen.
One quick announcement before we sing this hymn. There'll be no choir practice this coming Wednesday night. No choir practice. And all the choir members need to remember to cook your dinner item and deliver it to my house, please, Wednesday night. Thank you. If you would please stand and turn to page 327 in your hymnals, we will sing Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Come on, 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 come on
turn to page 883. We'll have our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Today. All right. What a big girl Ashton is. She came up here just with her big brother. That's wonderful. Okay, boys and girls, I want you to tell me what a king is. Who can tell me what a king is? Okay, well, Bradley, you always answer, so I'm going to give someone else a chance this time. Okay, tell me, what's a king? Okay. Okay, a king is a person in power who has riches and a throne. Okay, someone else want to tell me? Jamila, why don't you tell me what a king is? Somebody who takes control of the people. Yeah, okay, Zachary, what do you think a king is? Oh, okay. A king is somebody who rules his kingdom and never gives his riches to the people. Only if they're good. All right. We have a great understanding of what a king is. We have a great, and now Bradley, what are you going to tell me a king is? Okay. Most of the time, they're usually rich. Now, when they die, the king's family takes over. It's inherited. A kingship is inherited from your ancestors, and it goes down the line, doesn't it? So you said it rules over an area of land that's his kingdom, and he's usually rich. Now, tell me how you know a king is rich. What does a king wear or do that makes you know he's rich? Okay. Oh, you? A crown made of gold. Okay. And expensive gems. Okay, so we got a crown on the king. Anything else that the crown that the king wears that might be considered royal? What's that? Fancy clothes. Purple cape, maybe, and what was that? Choir robes. Yeah, okay, choir robes. What were you going to say, Zachary? and a place where he puts his sword, okay? Because a king sometimes leads in battle. Now, I'm going to show you something that that reminds me of a king, and I'm going to talk about this. This, what do I have here? An apron. Yeah. Now, how in the world would an apron remind you of a king? You could turn it backwards and it would be a cape. That's perfect. If I turned it back, but what if I used it like this? Why would this remind me of a king? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Jesus came to be a different kind of king. Today is Christ the King Sunday. He came to be a king, but he shows us that a king is a servant. A king serves others. And so this is what reminds me of that. It's got pockets for things I can put in it. If I'm cooking. Right. If I'm cooking, it protects my clothing, but it shows that I'm a worker. And that's what we're all called to be. We serve God by being a servant. And that's why this reminds me of being a king. It's totally different from the kind of king you're talking about. Yeah. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, God, that you came to show us a different kind of king and a different kind of kingdom, where we're all in brothers and sisters, and you are our king. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Invite the ushers to come forward as we continue to serve God with the giving of our gifts. We had to have a recessional of the children before the ushers could come. Let us pray. Gracious and most merciful Lord, we come into your presence to serve you, dear God, as our King. And you came to show us what it means to be a king, what it means to be a servant. And we pray your blessing upon us in this congregation, that we may be true to your kingdom and obey your commands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I totally changed things up on this morning, and I did the same thing for the last Sunday. So they're really flexible, and they're up here going to do a great job again, in spite of me. So it's a wonderful group. Give them a hug sometimes when you get a chance. And there's other choir members out here that aren't, especially one guy with crutch, I think. I'm counting them in.
Daddies always believe that their little angels are special indeed,
and you could grow up to be anything, but who could imagine a king?
Thank you so much. That was very beautiful and apropos to the day, Christ the King, and also very prayerful. And we're going to be entering into a time of prayer momentarily. I do want to remember to mention a few people. We have been praying constantly for Marlene and Lloyd Stone. Do we have any late word on how they're doing?
We had some trying 3 days because mom's had to be put on some medication to keep her calm. She gets very agitated and she gets just really ugly. In that said, because she's so relaxed, it is so very hard for dad to lift her up to get her anywhere in the house. hospice is trying to talk to him about the things that mom's going to go through, because it's going to get worse and worse. And he and I are not physically really able to be lifting her all the time when she's got to do something. So he's got to learn how to let go and let hospice come in there and do the things that need to be done. And it's just really sad. It's just really sad. But just pray that he learns to let go and let them come in there and do what they have to do for her. Because I don't know how much longer she's got here on this earth.
Letting go is one of the hardest things in the world for a loved one to do. That's a very difficult thing to come to terms with. It's a matter of acceptance, and we don't want to accept that someone is terminal. That's just the hardest part right there. I want to continue in prayer for my parents, who are both here this morning, Lois and Morel. My dad continues to recover from two falls that he's had recently, and I'm going to be asking him in just a moment to pray for me, and I'm going to take him this microphone, so we still need this microphone on back there so that he can be heard. I'm going to let him offer the prayer, but I also want to remember Jean's story today, who was in the early service but was having pain, was not feeling good at all, and she has her surgery scheduled for Wednesday this week. And I wanted you all to know so that you could be in prayer for Jean and pray that her surgery goes well and that they get all the cancer and that that's all that needs to be done. 1:30 on Wednesday at Orange Park Medical Center is when her surgery is. No, I imagine in the surgery area. I don't know. I think that's on the first floor, Sharon. That's on the first floor. But I think what she would really appreciate is your prayers very much. And so I'm going to, in this time of silence, when we lift up our prayers to God, give you an opportunity to do so, and then we'll let my father conclude with a prayer. Let us bow our heads and go to God in prayer.
We think of God sometimes in very earthy, unusual ways. He was the Master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And then we think of him as one who came as a baby, no power, no ability to do much for themselves. Isn't it strange how we do that? Turn around the idea of God as the Master and King, and then think of God as coming as a helpless baby. I'm so glad that we recognize that God is with us now through the Holy Spirit, to give us a sense of his presence and power in our lives and in the lives of those we care about and love and wish God's greatest blessing upon them. We're going to open this moment of prayer for you to mention the name of a person or persons that you want God's special attention to come to, through our prayers and through our caring and love. Would you give me those names in a quiet way as we listen to God's movement in our hearts? Mom and Dad, you know the names of these people, but give them a name.
Marlene and Lloyd.
Marlene and Lloyd.
Lloyd.
If I were a bit more mobile, I would go with this mic so that you could be heard. We know that God heard your word of plead and your belief in God's power to serve us where we are now. We thank you, God, for this church and for all those who in prayer are lifting up in their hearts the name Father or mother, baby, perhaps someone they knew long ago who meant so much. May we realize that God is using us as instruments of love and service and goodness so that this church may be a light and a pathway through even you and me. We're thankful for that. Use us now and always in the name of Christ. Amen.
Let us continue to pray as Jesus taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 301. We'll sing Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Thank you.
be seated.
If you would follow along with me on the screen or in your pew Bibles, our scripture reading for this morning, which is found in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
I want to give a shout out this morning to our worship committee who designed this altar for us today. We have Christ the King Sunday in our lectionary, and we see some of the signs of kingship of Jesus, which is different from so many other kings. We see instead of a crown of gold with jewels, we see a crown of thorns. And we see the drops of blood coming from his head and his feet as he hangs on the cross, and this is the cup that catches the blood and is the blood of the new covenant, which we celebrate in our sacrament of Holy Communion. And it's kind of strange today to be talking about Christ the King Sunday, because we have the story of Jesus' crucifixion right now before the feasting of Thanksgiving, which we celebrate this week, and then following that, the beginning of Advent, the joy and celebration of Advent. So it seems kind of odd to throw in Jesus' crucifixion in there. And just the whole idea of kings is something that's unfamiliar to us. We haven't had a king in America for over 200 years, and we don't really identify with kings. What do kings have to do with us? And why are we talking about Christ as king? Well, the story that we heard Luke tell this morning about the crucifixion is very simple and straightforward. They crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his left and one on his right. And that's it. That's all that's said about the crucifixion. It's very clear to the people whom Luke is talking to, and he's talking to the Greco-Roman world. He was a Greek himself, and he was talking to people who knew what crucifixion was. They knew exactly what it was. They didn't need to have it explained to them, because it was common throughout the empire as punishment, was the execution on a cross. So they knew what it was. But Jesus, as the supposed Son of God with the words "King of the Jews" above him and on the cross, was executed like a common criminal with a couple of petty criminals by his side. Not very kingly for the supposed king. And then more indignity, more shame, The soldiers kneel at his feet to gamble for his clothing. And people derided him. They laughed. They laughed at him on the cross and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." And there it is, my friends, the crux for them and for us. We don't want a suffering God and dying God. We want a strong and powerful God. We want a Savior who not only forgives our sins, but who will make us richer and prettier and happier and more popular and help ensure that all our plans work out for the best. That's what kind of Savior, what kind of King, if we're honest, we're looking for. Not too long ago, there was a popular TV preacher. I won't name him by name, but he was interviewed on the radio, and the pastor talked about his books and his sermons and all the people who listened to him. And the interviewer pointed out that he said nothing about preaching in his preaching had to do with God or Christ or death or resurrection. And the interviewer said, it seems to be mostly pop psychology with a few Bible verses thrown in. And all the preacher could say was, "Well, I teach them what helps people. What I teach them helps others." We want that kind of Savior. We want a powerful Savior who will fix things, a helpful God, a conquering Messiah, and a King who triumphs. That's why they were mocking him then. And the Romans made fun of him for different reasons. It amused them to see this carpenter, this kind of backward country preacher wrapped in purple with people claiming he was a king, the rightful king, the representative of God on earth. It amused them because they were Romans and they knew what a real king looked like. And this was definitely not it. A real king had power and arrogance and even cruelty. And this Jesus was none of that. So they mocked him. This first part of the scripture shows us a man who's not anything like what anyone believes a king should be. Not the Romans, not for the Jews, and really not for us. The second part of the scripture, verses 39 through 43, shows us what kind of king Jesus was and is. One of the criminals, as you notice, joined in the derision and the mocking. And he sees Jesus the same way everybody else does, as a sort of deranged religious fanatic or a nut. But the other thief, for some reason, sees Jesus through the eyes of faith. He starts out by reminding the other man that while they are guilty, Jesus is innocent and doesn't deserve to die. But then he does an astounding thing. From his place on his cross, he turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." How can he hang there on the cross and look over at a man who is dying beside him and see in him a Savior? A Messiah, a king with a kingdom, but he did. That's who he saw. And the question is for us, how can we look upon this same man, this small town carpenter and preacher, the same man from a small town 2,000 years ago, and see in him not only the Savior of the world, but the Savior of our very souls and life? Is because of something that the Jews themselves introduced to the world, something that Jesus taught and lived out and died for, something that has become a part of our modern world, the idea that a king, a true king, is the one who serves, the one who suffers for the people. The Jewish idea of a king was that the king ruled under God, not as a god. Like most ancient peoples, the king was supposedly anointed by God. But the king was as responsible to God as were the subjects. This idea was taken further by the prophets, in particular Isaiah, who saw the king, the Messiah, as the one who suffers on behalf of the people. A suffering servant is king. He frequently said, Jesus did, things like the true leader is the one who serves others. And we saw that in what he did on his last night in the upper room when he knelt down. Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the king, kneels down and washes the feet of the disciples. He showed what true leadership, true kingship is about. And somehow that second thief got it. He saw what Jesus was doing, and he saw that here was the Lord of the universe, the King of Kings, refusing to swat against his oppressors, dying so that they too could be forgiven, dying so that by his suffering, their suffering would be healed. Boy, I just can't imagine in this day and time even that kind of king or leader. We celebrate, my friends, Christ the King, not because of his regalness, but because of his humility. Not because of his power, but because of his compassion. Not because of his triumph, but because of his travail. Not because he fixes our lives and makes everything turn out all right for us, but that he shows us what we must do to live unto life eternal. We follow a king who is a servant of all. Thanks be to God. Amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we will sing "Here I Am to Worship."
Oh, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you as you leave this place today. Go in His peace. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.